Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
I want to share a Mother's Day message called Bringing Life to Your Home. You know, as I look at the video that we just saw, I think of the salary that moms would make with overtime, $113,000. And I think about my wife and I realize, you know, that doesn't even come close to the value that she has to us and to our family. And I think a lot of us would agree that our moms are worth way more than that. Our moms are worth an incredible amount. There's a story about a man who came home from work and he drove up to his house and he found his three kids outside, still in their pajamas, playing in the mud, and there are food boxes and wrappers strewn all over the front lawn. The front door to his wife's car was open, as well as the front door of the house, and the dog was nowhere in sight. As he proceeded into the house, he found an even bigger mess. A lamp had been knocked over, a throw rug was wadded up against a wall, the front room TV was blaring loudly on the cartoon channel, and the family room was strewn about with toys and various clothing articles. In the kitchen, the dishes filled the sink, breakfast food was spilled on the counter, the fridge door was wide open, dog food spilled on the floor, a broken glass was under the table, and a small pile of sand was spread by the back door. He quickly headed up the stairs, stepping over toys and more piles of clothes, looking for his wife. He was worried she might be ill or something had seriously happened. He was met with a small trickle of water flowing out from the bathroom door, and as he opened the door, he found wet towels, scummy soap, and more toys and clothing all over the place. Not to mention miles of toilet paper lay in a heap. Now he's really getting concerned. He rushes into the bedroom, and he finds his wife curled up in her pajamas reading a novel. She looks up at him and smiles and asks how his day went, and he just has this bewildered look on his face, and he says, "What happened here today?" And she replied to him, "Well, you know, every day when you come home and you ask me, what in the world did I do today?" "Yeah," he replied, "well, today I didn't do it." Doesn't it sound about right? It sounds about right. Moms, you have an incredible value, but not just because of what you do physically around the house. I propose that your value far exceeds that. Because Proverbs chapter 18 tells us that death and life flow out of the tongue. And there is something about each of us. Each of us have the power to create life or death in our situation. And moms, you are one of the greatest forces at home that establish what the home is going to be like. Will you produce life or death? But it's not just moms. It's dads also. And it's kids. Teenagers, little ones, all of us, everywhere we go, can produce life or death. And this morning, as we focus on Mother's Day in the home and family, I want to talk about how do we bring life to our home. Because in the world today, there is a lot of death, a lot of negativity, a lot of oppression, a lot of things that weigh people down. And what is it, how do we produce life? Because if you've been out in the work world all day long, or you've even been at school, you encounter death. How many encounter death where you work or where you go to school? Many of us do. How many of you experience death when you turn on the TV? You just have to watch the news or you look at the internet, and we are just bombarded with negativity on a constant basis. And if we're not careful, we can allow the things of the world, our problems, whatever it may, to pile on us, and that we bring death to our homes instead of life. So how do we bring life today? And we're going to look at this morning in 1 Kings chapter 17, and we're going to see a mother who literally brought life to her home. As we read this, she's going to be out gathering firewood for the last meal. She's almost out of food. There is a famine in the land, and she is ready to make the last meal and then wait for her and her son to die a slow, painful, agonizing death from starvation. Death is crouching at the door, but something takes place in this story. There's four steps, four things she did that brought life to her home, and we want to look at that today. Because I believe if we follow those four steps, you and I can bring life to our homes. Let's pick things up in 1 Kings chapter 17. Let's begin reading in verse 8. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him." Now, this is Elijah. God told Elijah the prophet, "Hey, I want you to go to this town. During this famine, a widow will provide food for you." So Elijah is on his way, and the Lord said, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So he arose, He arose and went to Zarephath. And when it came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink." As she was going to get it, notice that phrase, as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." So she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, and only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said to her, "Do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. Bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the house." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by Elijah. If you're taking notes this morning, the very first step to bringing life to our house is that we need to work hard. We need to work hard. Now, I can just guarantee many of you here today says, "That's not what I was hoping to hear in a Mother's Day message. I need to work hard." First of all, I'll say, most moms already do work hard. You'd say, "I'm on the first step. I've got it. I'm doing good there." How many would say, "I'm already working hard"? About four of you. Boy, the rest of you moms, you better get off your duff. No. There was a teacher one time, she was teaching her kids about magnets, and she brought this magnet out and showed them all what they could do and stuff. And she later, the next day, she had a test. And on the test, it says, "What is a six-letter word that begins with M and it picks up things?" Do you realize half of the kids got it wrong because they put the word mother? Moms, work hard. Think about it. Six letters, M, and it picks up things, okay? Mothers pick up things. Moms work hard. They work incredibly hard. If you don't believe it, that video shows us how hard moms work. And being a good mom means it's hard work. It is not easy. Young girls out there, okay? Little girls, you want to be a mom? It is not about sitting in front of the television or watching episodes of Yes to the Dress online or Facebooking or Googling all day long. Being a mom is a tough job. It's a big job. And not just from the physical point of any cooking or cleaning or that, but being a support for your husband, your kids, training and teaching your kids, setting the attitude of the home. Moms set the attitude of the home. You can either make your home a haven of rest or a hellhole. Honestly, the spirit of the mom so much impacts the spirit of a home. This mother here was a widow in our story. She was a widow. And realize, back in those days, women really didn't have careers. Their husbands provided for them. And because she was a widow and a single mom, she had to work very, very hard to provide for her and her little boy. To make matters worse, the land is in a time of famine. And so it hadn't rained for several months, and so there is a shortage of food. She has a shortage of income. She just can't go to a food pantry like we have. She just can't receive help, and so she is just scraping by, and we see here that she is working hard. She's out collecting firewood. This lady knew what it was like to work hard and realized she kept working hard regardless of what it was like. There are some of you moms here today, you say, man, nobody notices. My husband doesn't notice when I pick up his dirty clothes. You know what? Let him sit there. Don't wash him. When he realizes he has no socks or underwear, he'll start to put him in the laundry. But is that good marriage counseling? How many of the wives say, that's great. Preach it, Pastor Craig. Amen. Moms, your work may not go noticed, but Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man, and I will put a woman in there, who excels in his or her work? He or she will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. Moms, as you work hard, as you give it your all, as you say, Lord, I'm not working for man, I'm working for you, as Colossians chapter 3 says, that we work heartily as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that from the Lord we receive a reward. As you and I work hard, it produces life. This mother produced life. Moms, thank you so much for all of the hard work you do for us. We take you for granted. The only time we're really, truly appreciative is when you're sick in bed or you're gone visiting your mom. It's so easy to take them for granted. But moms work hard, and if mom is the only one working hard, that's going to produce death in her. So dads and kids, all of us need to work hard because that brings life to the home. Now, I just want to take a little sidetrack here. This working is not just physical. Picking up clothes, doing laundry, cleaning the house, cooking. There's also a spiritual component. We need to work hard at investing in the training and the spiritual development of our homes. Because the home is the place where spiritual life comes to play. Do you realize that if a child comes to Sunday morning discipleship groups, Sunday morning church, comes to Wednesday night JBQ, at the most they will have 5 to 6 hours of spiritual training. And yet children are in your home about 40 hours a week. And when school's out, they're in the home way more than that. And so as parents, we have a tremendous obligation to our kids, a responsibility to work at investing in the spiritual life of our kids, teaching them to pray, sharing the word with them, modeling it. It takes work to invest in our families, but there is a spiritual component. As you and I work hard at discipling our kids, it produces spiritual life in there. The Bible says to train up a child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they will not depart. It pays to take that time. You're tired at night. I remember when our kids were little, my wife and I, we just wanted to get them to bed so we could have some time alone. And it's like, man, do I want to take that extra, 15, 20 minutes to sit down with them, talk with them, read the Bible, pray with them? But it pays dividends. Take the time. And even as they get older, and it's easier because when your kids are older, they're off running here and there. They go to their room, their man cave or their girl cave. They're in front of the TV or they're in front of their laptop or they're listening to their music, and they don't want to talk to you anymore. They are too busy to do that. They have their own things. They're studying their own for their own finals, their own tests, all the work that they have. And so you work with their schedules, but parents, work at connecting with your kids, playing with your kids, and discipling your kids. Just don't make it all about the spiritual investment. Have fun with them, because whoever holds your kids' heart when they're older will hold their ear. Whoever they feel are their best friends, those are the ones they'll listen to. And there's a lot of parents, they say, I'm too busy, not now, later, later, later. Johnny, just go play on your own. I'm busy doing this. And then when later comes, when the parent wants the relationship, they've lost the heart of their son or their daughter. And they listen to their friends, and the parent goes, I wonder what happened. I took them to church. We took them to discipleship. We did all these things with them. What happened? It's because relationship is what ministry flows out of. Work hard at relationship, spiritual investment, and the physical things. That is the first step to producing life in your home. Let's look at point number two. The second thing that you and I need to do if we are going to bring life to our homes is we need to never give up. Say, never give up. Never give up. You look at this mom in our story, and she was down to her final cup of flour and her last little bit of oil. The very last bit. You know, she could have said, what good is this going to do? Because after we eat this, we're out, we're dead, we're done, we die. She could have said, you know what, I'm going to stay in the home and I'm going to watch Young and the Restless. She could have said that. She could have just said, what's the use? Why try? But instead, she leaves her home and she goes outside the city to gather firewood. And as she is outside the city, that is where the prophet sees her. If this mom had given up, if she wouldn't have been willing to go out and try, the prophet never would have seen her. And he never would have gave the invitation about getting a drink of water, and life would have never came to her home if she had given up. This mom did not give up when the going got tough. She said, as long as there is an ounce of hope, I'm going to do everything I can to help my boy and I live. And there might be some of you here today, you're in a situation where it looks hopeless. But friends, as long as your child has breath, you keep reaching out to your kids. Keep praying for your kids. As long as you're alive and Jesus is your Savior, I don't care what the problem is, never give up on God. Never quit your marriage. Never quit your family. Never quit your God. Never give up. Never give up. Galatians chapter 6, verses 8 and 9, it says, for he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Did you hear that? If we never give up, if we don't grow weary and say, what's the use? We will reap a harvest. Not maybe, not hopefully. It is a promise from God that God will come through for us. Ilian Jones wrote how one time the New York Times was asked by a women's club to help them decide on the 12 greatest women in the United States. And after they thought this through, the editors of the Times, they went back to this club and they said the 12 greatest women in the United States are women who have never been heard of outside of their own homes. Here was their reason for it. They said it was the women who inspired people to do greater things. I asked a question this morning. Who is greater, Thomas Edison or Thomas Edison's mother? You see, Thomas Edison, when he was a young boy, his teacher said to his mom, she sent a note home and says, your child is dumb. We cannot do anything for him. Mrs. Edison wrote back and said, you do not understand my boy. I will teach him myself. And she pulled him out of school. She schooled him herself. And we know the results of what happened in Mr. Edison's life. He became an incredible inventor. It would have not happened if it wasn't for Mrs. Edison. What's Mrs. Edison's first name? Does anyone know? I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to let you look it up. Because here's the thing. You and I maybe don't notice stuff, but there is a Father in heaven who knows your name, and he knows all the things you are doing. Never give up on your kids. Never give up on God. God is a rock. We sang the song today, standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. A person who's standing on the promises never gives up. There's some of you this morning, you've maybe given up or you're so close. The good thing about God is that even if you've stopped, He hasn't. And all you need to do is just stand up from where you've sat down. Get up and go pick up those sticks. It might just be something as simple as getting out of bed in the morning, picking up your Bible and reading it, talking to God, doing what you have to do. You may feel numb. You may feel it's not going to make a difference, but never, ever give up. You will reap a harvest. And when you do, it'll bring life and blessing to your home. The third thing that brings life into our homes is to be open-hearted to other people. Be open-hearted to other people. So many times when we have problems, it causes us to turn inward and just to focus on ourselves. And we're hurting so much that we become numb to the pain of other people around us. We become desensitized to the suffering and the needs of others, and we don't even take notice of their needs because we're so wrapped up in what's taking place in our lives. This widow woman, it would have been easy for her to do the same. It would have been easy. I mean, she is out preparing her last meal, and this guy wants a drink of water. I mean, she could have said, "Buddy, do you know how bad I have it? Well, just sit down and let me tell you." And she could have unloaded on him. She says, "I am out here picking up sticks to go make the last meal for my son and I, and then we're going to die, and you want a drink of water? Buddy, you don't have any problems. I've got problems." She could have just said, "Get out of here. I'm doing my own thing." She could have been insensitive to the needs around her, but she wasn't. Instead, she went to get him a cup of water. I want you to look at verse 10. It says, "He arose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a woman was there gathering sticks, and he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.' And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, 'Please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand.'" You have to realize the prophet did not ask for food until he first asked for water. And when he saw that she was responsive and she turned and she went on her way to get him water, it was then that he called to her, "Hey, can I get a little bit of food also?" We've read that story so many times and don't realize that first she had compassion and said, "I'll go beyond my problems and I'll get you some water." Water was free, but even there, this is a famine. There is a drought. Water is scarce, but she had enough water apparently, and she went to go get him water. She was compassionate. She saw his need, and that compassion then opened up an opportunity for God to do a miracle in her life, for God to give her more flour and oil than she ever could have hoped for. It never ran out, and because she was open-hearted to the pain of others, it opened her home up to God's blessing and to life being poured into her. Compassion for the people around us, not being so busy or so worried or so frustrated or so caught up in our own lives, but when we have a life that is other-oriented, that is looking out for the needs of others, it does something and it invites the blessing of God and the life of God into our lives and our homes. It's interesting, but in the Hebrew language, one of the words for womb actually comes from the word compassion. The womb is where motherhood takes place, and the womb is rooted in compassion. In other words, when you and I are compassionate for other people, it births life in us, and it births life in those around us. A very powerful truth. If you want life, sometimes when I counsel people and someone's in a funk and they're having a big problem, one of the things I'll say is, I want you to go find a service organization. I want you to go and serve someone and serve them diligently and wholeheartedly, because so many times when we're dealing with difficulties, we become focused on self that we lose sight of others. But only when we put others first do we experience life and fullness in our lives. I once heard someone say the word joy. How many like joy? Joy unspeakable and so full of grace. Man, I want joy in my life. Do you know what joy stands for? You can write this down. It stands for J, Jesus, O, others, Y, you. The way to joy is putting Jesus first and then other people and then yourself. And sometimes when we hit problems, you know what we do? We start out with, we spell yoj. We start out with us, with you. And then we maybe think of others and then about Jesus. Or we do yojo, you know, us and then Jesus and then others. No, to get it right, it's Jesus, others, and you. When we are full of compassion, we bring life. Let's take a look at the last key that brings life into our home. So far, we have learned what? What's the first step to bringing life to our home? Work hard. Secondly, never give up. What's the third thing? Be open-hearted to other people. Number four, the fourth key to having life in our homes is to listen and respond to the Word of God. Listen, respond to the Word of God. Look at verse 13. Elijah said to her, "Do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day of the Lord sends rain on the earth." So she went away and did according to the word of Elijah. And she and he and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord which he spoke by Elijah. Because this mother listened and responded to God's word that was spoken to her, it produced continual life-giving nourishment to her family. Where there was once scarcity, meagerness, fear, emptiness, and death, there was now life and vibrancy, hope, and abundance. Because she listened to the Word of God. Friends, we need to make God's Word a priority for our lives. It's not just enough to work hard. It's not just enough to never give up. It's not just enough that we're open-hearted to other people. But we need time. We sang the song, "Waiting Here for You." We need to wait in the presence of God with His Word, with His Spirit, and allow Him to pour into us. As we are people of the Word, it brings life and vibrancy. Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace and joy in your hearts to the Lord." How are you in pouring God's Word in your life? Is the last time you were in the Word was last week when you sat in this seat? If the last time I have taken time to get bread from heaven was a week ago, we're going to be starving spiritually. If you have not eaten in a whole week physically, you'd be a little bit thinner and you'd be really hungry. And you'd say, "Craig, hurry up and shut up. I'm going to get some lunch." You're probably not going to go to McDonald's today because it's Mother's Day. I understand that. But you would be hungry if you haven't eaten in a week. If we starve ourselves spiritually, we will not be full of life and energy to give to our families. We need to be pouring into ourselves. And let the Word dwell richly. It needs to live in us. Not just, I read my little 5-minute devotion, go out and do what I want, and I don't think about it. But the Word dwells, and it dwells richly, not merely. And as I am a person that's in the Word, it's going to bring life to my home. I'd like everyone just to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.